Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa. You know, we travel the country. And you know, as pet sitting as we do our park travels with our Parks and Travel magazine, but you know, during the pandemic and on and off, we pretty much stay in a lot of bed and breakfasts. I think over 2 years, we visited and covered over 30 bed and breakfasts and made a lot of friends. And we highly recommend that when you travel, that you stay in a bed and breakfast. They, you know, the innkeepers know just about everything. Like they know how to hook you up. Like with anything you want to do, like seriously, right, Nancy? I mean,
that's true.
They're like, they know everything about what's going on in a region, and the, you know, the service is real and the hospitality, just they're so friendly and it's a real stay, very authentic. It's not what you're going to get. What does Glenn, our friend over in England, Glenn Burrows from Norfolk Tours, say, Nancy? The spit and cardboard places,
like, yeah,
it's like it's a place where you get. You want places with charm, authenticity. Maybe you want a nature view. Maybe you're in a historic downtown, you know, but you want something authentic with charm, and bed and breakfast certainly do that. And today we're going to chat with a group of bed and breakfasts. We have part one and part two. This is part one. And we're talking about bed and breakfasts that do something special for those who serve in the military and those veterans of the military, and also look at what they do in their community and what their community does in respect and honor for those who have passed, especially when we look at like memorial parks and maybe Veterans Day parades, all kinds of there's so many ways to honor and respect those who have served our country. So this is all part of our military programming. We do a monthly Big Blend radio show, Military Monday show, every first Monday with Mike Wardy, who's a military historian. And we do quite a lot of programs on the military, military history, and current service. So very excited about today's show. Our first guests are Steve and Karen Wilson. You hear them every second Tuesday on Big Blend Radio with their Adventures in Asheville podcast with us. And they're back today. I go to their website, lion-rose.com. They are in the Montford Historic District of Asheville, North Carolina. And I think we stayed with them, what, how many years ago? Karen, Steve, welcome back. It was, what, 2-3 years ago?
Three years,
I think.
Yeah, yes. See, and they know everything about us. They do.
We stayed with them.
I know, right? It's a good, bad, and the ugly. No, we stayed with them on our way up north, and it was, you know, just a wonderful chance meeting. And we go back and see them and stay there as often as we can. We even got to be innkeepers for a few days. They allowed us to learn how to become innkeepers for a story that we did.
Very brave.
So they're very trustworthy, amazing human beings that trusted us. And we thank them for that experience. And all I can say is bed and breakfast, y'all work hard, right, Nancy? That is some hard work. Nancy learned about cooking for like a table of 9-10 people that had to be served all at once. Right, Nancy?
That
in a Victorian
fun.
Kitchen?
Yeah, very that cool. was fun.
But yeah, Steve,
I got it though.
I think one of the first things we learned about the Lion and the Rose, obviously it's a beautiful Queen Anne, it's beautiful Victorian B&B. But Steve, I think it was the first thing we talked about really was the veterans programs. And so this ties back to you and Karen's family, right? So your dad serve, and or Karen, your dad
both
served?
Of our dads.
Yeah, both our dads served in the Army.
Both of our dads did.
Awesome.
Okay. Awesome. So you're both Army
they
brats.
They were both
then.
Army.
Yeah. It was just our way of calling you guys brats. But everyone, lion-rose.com. So how many rooms? Tell Karen, give everybody an overview of the inn, because it's how many rooms? And before I do it, I know all those rooms very well.
We have 5 rooms, so it's nice and intimate. We have 4 rooms on the second floor, and then we have a suite on the top that's like a mini apartment, and as I'll say, on the third floor with a private balcony and all that. So,
and if you stay for an extended stay, you get beer. home-crafted beer?
Yes. Now, our latest promotion is that if you stay 3 nights or more, you will get your own personal in-room tap with one of our beers.
Yeah, because cool. Steve's a brewer. It's very cool. And when you check in, he gives you a fresh glass of beer. That's a fresh glass of beer that's fermented, like it's supposed to be, right?
Complete with alcohol and everything.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That helps, you know. And delicious breakfast that Steve, you typically make the breakfast. And
I make the breakfast. I get up early and, oh, thank you.
Tater tots. Can we talk about tater tots?
They're different. They're not just tater tots.
No. They're little. Tell everybody about the tater tots. Because you're in Beer City, USA, so you take care of people on Sundays. They need it. You do very good. Tell them about
the tater tots. After drinking all that beer, we've come up with a tater tot waffle. And that's the perfect thing after drinking a little too much beer the next morning.
And you get a beer mosa as well to give you a little bit of hair of the dog, right? Just to get you a little
absolutely.
Bit. And some vitamin C.
Yep, on request.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we've also got Judy Truitt here. She is from the Virginia Cliff Inn from Glen Allen, Virginia. I encourage you to go to their website. It's VA Cliff and Cliff with an E at the end. So vacliffinn.com. So welcome, Judy. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're happy that you're here. And give us a little idea of where Glen Allen is in Virginia and just a little overview of your bed and breakfast. By the way, everybody on the show, you guys have to go to their websites. It's beautiful. We want to go everywhere. You know, it's beautiful. So give everyone an idea of the Virginia Cliff Inn so they know why they need to come and stay.
Well, it's conveniently located to I-95. So if you're traveling, you know, north to south or south to north along, it's a great little place to come off the highway. We're about a mile from I-95. It's very secluded. It's very peaceful. It's the perfect relaxing getaway. We have beautiful grounds. We're just we're on the east side of Glen Allen, so we're right along Richmond. We're like 15 minutes from Richmond. We're 15 minutes from King's Dominion. There's DC is like 2 hours away. Virginia Beach is an hour and a half away. Williamsburg, there's so many attractions that surround us that we're a nice central located place when you just want to get away from everything.
And you got a ton of military history for sure in your area. We were just talking about that.
We were talking about
battlefields of Virginia, and then somebody was just saying to me, they're like, that is what Virginia is one big battlefield. It really is, you know? I mean, so much history that happened in Virginia. It's incredible and beautiful at the same time, incredibly beautiful. And it looks like your inn is just, that's like a manor. I mean, that's an estate. That's huge. How many rooms do you have?
So we have 5 rooms in the house, but we have actually 6 guest rooms. We have like a little carriage house on the side of the house.
Cool.
It's great for the perfect getaway. It has a little kitchenette, but I mean, it was an old farm. It was farmhouse that was designed after George Washington's headquarters. So it's Georgian architecturally designed home.
But it looks so huge. Wow.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. And it was built in 1850. So a lot of the downstairs has the original molding, the floors, the stairs, the trim. We're right along historic mountain road, which Thomas Jefferson used to travel along between Richmond and Williamsburg and all around.
Wow. Okay. So, talk about some history. There, you've got Revolutionary War history, then, you know, you've got it all going on.
Wow.
And so we've got Virginia, but now we're going to go on a little road trip to West Virginia. And we're going to talk about the Gillam House Bed and Breakfast. And also just charming. I mean, I'm looking at some of the pictures, like even the outside. If you look at the art, this is the thing. The architecture is always fascinating to me. But we're going to welcome Kathleen Panic. I believe she was on our show. I know from before. I know the name, and I know looking at this, I know she was on the show, I think during the pandemic. But she is in Shinston, West Virginia. So welcome back, Kathleen. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very fine. Thank you. Shinston, West Virginia is just 7 miles west of I-79 at exit 124. We're a town of about 2,300, but we have two parks. Each one has a walking trail around it. The big park has a zero grade entry swimming pool. We have a performance center for the Shinston Community Band, and other bands have been there. We've also had Shakespearean plays there. The Gillam House has three guest rooms. One is a king bed with a private ensuite bathroom. The other two rooms have queen beds, and they share a bathroom that has a 60-inch shower. We have a deadbolt lock on that back bathroom door, and I have the only key, so no one can ever be walked in on. I roast the coffees for breakfast. I apologize. We only have 28 countries in-house at the moment. We also have our guests choose what meat they want for breakfast, and they can have either bacon, ham, my homemade pork sausage, pork chops, my homemade venison sausage, or steak.
Wow. So this is, this is the food. Now, the actual house itself, can you tell us a little bit about it? Because even looking at the architecture, like you've got the columns, and then I feel like Hansel and Gretel were there with the little...
It's just a 1912 four square house. Nothing fancy to the house. It's just has beautiful woodwork because that's what they did in that time period. But it's, everybody has seemed very comfortable here. I'm not fancy. I'm not comfortable with fancy. I grew up on a farm. Yeah. And as my first reviewer said, this is a place that you walk in and you feel like you can kick off your shoes and relax. And that's what I want my guests to feel like here.
A lot of B&Bs have really gone into, it used to be like, don't you, you know, take your shoes off when you get to the door kind of thing. And I think it's from our experience of staying. It's changed.
You do not have to take your shoes off here.
You don't want us to. We probably put out hiking. You probably don't want that to happen. So everyone, gillamhouse.com. is the website. It's G-I-L-L-U-M, gillamhouse.com. So we're going to go from West Virginia up to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and we're going to talk about the Stewart Avenue Inn. Yeah, you and I have been through there, Kalamazoo area, beautiful lakes. Michigan is a gorgeous state, and they have good beer too. Anyway, Dana Underwood is joining us. Welcome, Dana. How are you?
I'm great. It's actually sunny today. It snowed yesterday, but it's sunny today.
So, well, hey, ahead. I'm glad for, you know, can you send somewhere? We are in Maryland. We've been going through rain since we got here, but, you know, it's all good. But I want everyone to know your website is stewartavenuein.com, and that's Stewart with a U-A, not an E-W, stewartavenuein.com. But, like, going on your website, it looks like this is another just amazing piece of history that people get to stay in. How is that? Is that Victorian, or... Tell us a bit about the building. It's beautiful.
It's a Queen Anne, and it's remarkable in that it has not been changed very much over the years. It was built in 1886. It was a single-family home up until the 50s, and then sort of multi-family housing, but remarkably pristine in the sense that the rooms have not been cut up. We have 7 rooms. They all have private baths, and they have little kitchenettes. Ooh. And we cater to a lot of people who are wanting to get out. We're equidistant from Chicago and Detroit. Minneapolis and Indianapolis. So it's people who want to get out of town. Our Kalamazoo is a town of about 75,000, but reads like a town of about twice its size. It's got theater, it's got bike trails, it's got art, it's got festivals. So we do a pretty brisk business with a lot of different types of people. And our style is kind of like the Gillum House, very relaxed.
Nice.
We want our guests to enjoy and make use of the property. We have a great garden and porches and a gazebo, and when they're being used, that's the best feeling.
Oh, that I agree. And gazebos are a special thing. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna go south now, because we got to go to Texas. We're going to go to East Texas, out in the Piney Woods region. We love the Piney Woods. This is an area with lakes and exquisite birding. Okay, so because it's right next to Louisiana, which is also famous for its birding. And we're going to chat with Michael and her husband, Chuck, own and run the Bird and Butterfly Inn. Can't beat that name. It's beautiful. So go to thebirdandbutterflyinn.com. So if you're nature lovers, this is going to be a place for you. So they're in Jasper, Texas. So welcome to the show, Michael. And how are you?
Hi, we are great. We are having the most enviable weather of everyone on the call. It is a lovely 79 degrees today with very low humidity.
Really, for East Texas?
I drive a convertible, and this is a top-down day.
Oh, awesome.
Sounds wonderful.
But we have to take those as we get them, because in about 6 weeks, it is going to be, like, hotter than you know where.
We know about that.
Hot sounding good to me.
Yeah, but it looks so beautiful. Your inn looks like you are out in nature.
On about 8 acres. We're on the Angelina River. Our house, inside and out, looks like a very old house with very large, like the big moldings and stuff like that. But actually, it was built in 2009. And it was not built to be originally a B&B. It was built to be a private home. And the owners who built it suddenly looked at themselves and said, it's you and me and 5,000 square feet. The B&B was a little bit of an afterthought. We are a 5-room property. We have 3 rooms in the main house, and we are actually converting the innkeeper suite because my husband and I are in an upstairs room. One of our inside rooms includes the Pullman car room, which is modeled after an old Pullman train car.
Wow, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, that ties to Chicago, yeah.
It has 4 sleeping berths. It has 2 queens and 2 twin beds. And then we have 2 standalone buildings on the property. We have what's called the Little White House, which is a little cottage. And then we have the 1901 cabin, which, as the name indicates, was built in 1901.
This is so cool. You know, your area is beautiful. So do you get a lot of nature, especially with your name, nature people, bird watchers, you know, people that just need that real quiet kind of... Because it is cool. Yeah.
We're not in a remote area. We are north of town, so we're not in the town proper. We're about 20 minutes north of the town. We are, if you Google Lake Sam Rayburn and you blow your map up and you go way to the very bottom south part of the lake, there is a little vertical line that comes off the lake. That is the Lake Sam Rayburn Dam. And we are 1 mile south on the west side of the Angelina River. We're 1 mile south from the dam. So we have... Our logo is a blue heron and a little cloud sulfur butterfly, and we see both of those things very frequently over the river, plus turtles and cormorants, and we love the kingfisher who jumps down and grabs the fish, so it's a lot of fun.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
I love that.
I want to get into what you are all doing in regards to baking for men and women that are in service now and out in the field. And also, I know there's a wonderful Veterans Day program for lodging, a Veterans Day lodging program for veterans that we want to talk about. But before we get into that, we've talked a little bit about the surroundings, but one thing I've noticed from all of your inns on your websites, and this does tie into military too, is it looks like people can go to your inns, your bed and breakfast, for small weddings, intimate weddings. I know elopements are still really big, and a lot of people have decided, hey, we're going to have a smaller, more intimate wedding. A lot of people are getting, you know, they have the small wedding and it's zoomed out to family and friends. But we're seeing a lot of that. And I think that's really grown over the last few years, especially during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to touch on that because I think this would be a really cool, you know, there's a lot of elopements in the military. I have a lot of friends who did that.
Yes.
And they're happy. So it's, elopements are not a naughty thing like they used to be. But Michaelyn, it looks like you do weddings as well.
We do weddings. We do elopements it's called Just Us, and it's just for 1 hour on the property. It's a do you? Great, bye. They get a cake and some floral, but it's very low key.
Nice.
We have a medium-sized wedding, and then we have a wedding that we say tops out at 50, but really we can do more like 60 or 75. We built a big wedding and event deck on the property. It has a beautiful waterfall landscape off to the side of it.
Nice.
So we can go up to about 65.
Wow, that's party. Mm. That's Steve and Karen, you know, this is interesting because you both got married in a bed and breakfast, right? But, you know, Karen, I know you've had some weddings at the inn, haven't you, at the Lion and the Rose?
Yep. We've had several, and it happens to be the first couple that Steve married was military.
Oh wow!
So that was really cool to be and special to be part of it. Yeah.
So Steve, you ordained?
Had his first baby too.
Oh.
Yes, I am ordained.
Wow.
Yes, he's ordained. So that's as a precaution in case we couldn't get a minister, and so happened that day we needed it, and we made their day because she was on military leave, and they absolutely wanted to get married, and we're like, we're making this happen for you.
Oh, that is so special. Wow. I remember you had honeymooners there, and I know bed and breakfast make a nice, you know, retreat for honeymoons too. And I remember, like, that was my biggest fear. I'm like, it's their honeymoon. Everything has to be perfect. The stress, and they turned out to be the coolest couple, and they're just so chilled out and relaxed. Hey, we're going hiking. Mm-hmm. We're going to go see waterfalls. And I'm like, is everything okay? Oh yeah, man, it's all good. And I'm like, oh, thank you. You guys, my hats are off to you, you know, and they had baked goodies, you know, and wine and balloons. And I'm like, everything, flowers must be perfect. Everything has to be perfect for the honeymooners. It's like, no, you know, because people reflect on their memories. So it's a big deal, you know, and that's why I say, like, it's so special to go to bed and breakfast, because the innkeepers really do. Attention to detail is big, and making sure that you really are creating memories that you're going to cherish forever. So I wanted to go to Judy over at the Virginia Cliff Inn. Do you do any weddings or elopements or small weddings?
Oh, yes.
Honeymoons?
Yes. Oh, yes. We just actually introduced elopements this past year, for the smaller intimate weddings, but we also double as a wedding venue, so we can have up to 225.
Ooh, you guys are having big parties.
and it's prime season right now, but we, you know, all kinds of weddings, and it's great. You know, people see, and it's the garden, the grounds, it's all beautiful. We have a tent, we have a pavilion, so we do them all year round.
That's awesome. So, Kathleen at the Gillum House B&B, do you have any romantic elopements, weddings?
I do elopements. They can have a maximum of 4 guests because I don't have parking or bathroom. During the spring through fall, the wedding ceremony takes place in a circa 1778 two-story log house. I have the key. We have a retired Methodist minister that performs the ceremony. I make a small two-tiered cake. In fact, I have one coming up next weekend, not this one coming up, but the next weekend. And the bride has asked for white roses instead of the red. I've already ordered her bouquet and his boutonniere. They get the top tier to take home with them, just like they would at a big wedding. I do the video and the photographs. They get copies of the DVD and all the photos on a CD. And it also includes one night with breakfast at the Gillum House. And the whole package is $850 plus tax.
Wow. Like, seriously. See, and that way you can put your money into a honeymoon or into, like, your home. Mm-hmm. it to me that I think there's something really special about the elopement, and you don't have to worry about someone stopping you. Like, you know, we don't want the person running, stop the wedding, stop the wedding. You don't want that. Nobody wants that.
So, sure.
Dana, the Stewart Avenue Inn, are you doing weddings and elopements, honeymoons, romantic rendezvous? Woo-woo.
Woo. No, we've taken a different tack. We used to do weddings.
Uh-huh.
And we decided we didn't want to do those anymore.
Okay.
So we have moved on to sort of retreats and respite weekends.
Oh, that's cool, though. And you get honeymooners, too, I bet, though, that come out just for...
You get honeymooners. And we'll definitely house a wedding party. You know, people are going to a wedding, but...
Mm. Okay. Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Hey, and I think the respite and the retreats, I think that's also something, you know, when folks come home from service... That's an important thing,
exactly.
too, that they get some time away. And that's what we are going to talk about a little bit later about the Veterans Day program. But for those who are out in service now in the field, there's nothing like getting, you know, a box of goodies, treats from home that are baked with love. And so this is the really dangerous portion of this show, because we're going to talk about baked goods from bed and breakfast from, you know, folks who really know how to bake. And I know Karen is like the amazing baker at the Lion and the Rose. Karen, tell us a little bit about this baking program. We've talked about it over the years, but you're like wanting to ring the bell for bed and breakfast to get on board. We need to get back to baking. I know during the pandemic, innkeepers had a little bit more time, but this is a really important program. We've had Mike Guardi on the show with you last year, Memorial Day show, and he started talking about what they want in the field and things like, yeah, put M&Ms in there because they won't melt. And like, he got all excited about the food. And I think you ended up doubling your batch on something, like, and adding something else to what you were doing.
We did. But... yeah, we did. We added more.
Tell everybody about this program. What happens?
Okay. So this is with a nonprofit organization called Soldiers Angels. They have several other programs, but I came across this that is called Angel Bakers. So this is something that anybody can do for this matter, where you can commit to baking whatever you want to bake and sending a package with baked goods, with other little things like magazines or decks of cards, socks, stuff like that, that any of our service members could use. They're on a list. So they have the list of names that you can choose by military branch, by state, by man or woman. So you can kind of choose who you want to even send to, which makes it fun. And we were calling this In Support of Our Troops. Mm. So this is across the nation coming together to help bake and hopefully make some of these people's days. Let them know we care, that we're thinking about them, and we do appreciate everything they do.
That's awesome. So anyone can do this. So at home, we could be, even as we travel, I mean, we're in, homes across America, basically, we could bake and send the, and this is year round?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Nancy?
We just decided to do it for Military Appreciation Month. It gives all of us as innkeepers more time to kind of fit in our schedule when we can bake something and ship it and just, let them know during... They need to know all the time they're appreciated, but we just figured it was a good time to target for most of us, time-wise.
Right. And May's a longer month. But, January, February, March gets wonky. Like, I don't like those months. They get all weird about their months and timing. And then we have taxes in April. So no one's happy with April. But May, I think it's, this is something that anyone can get on board with and really support those in service, men and women out there. And I think this is really cool. So Nancy, you can bake. You're the science brain out of the two of us. So what would you bake? What would you bake if you do it?
Double chocolate.
Oh, anything with double
cookies.
Nice.
Yeah, what did you do this year, Karen?
So I have not baked yet. I'm going to bake next week, but I'm probably going to do the spent grain cookies. So we use the spent grain from our beer. We like to reuse and recycle everything possible and be sustainable. But the spent grains add a different texture and taste into the cookies or breads or anything. It's kind of a nutty, what would you say, Steve? It's kind of a nutty, different kind of nutty taste. I mean, it's unique.
It's got a grain in there and all that, so it has nice texture.
A little healthier, supposedly.
A little healthier, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, that, but spent grain is good, too, because then they kind of feel like they're having a beer. They want a beer, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a different way, you know. So, Michael, and I want to go to you over at the Bird and Butterfly Inn. Are you making butterfly cookies? Like, what are you doing? What are you baking? Or have you baked them already?
We have not baked. This is our first year. We just reopened as a new property in October, so we're still getting our feet wet a little bit. But we're in. We became aware of this program through an innkeeping group on Facebook. And so I love to bake, and it seemed like a great opportunity to do something and give something back. So we are probably just going to be doing the standard, you know, chocolate chip cookie, but I'm going to be looking around for something else that we can add in there that's going to make it a little more interesting and fun.
Oh, and I love that you can put other gifts in there, like cards, like what, you know, Karen was saying, something from home, something, I think, you know, especially if they're overseas and, you know, things change so much. Just something, you know, from the region too would be cool for them to know. Hey, Jasper, Texas cares, you know. I think that's really cool. Let's go to you, Dana. What are you baking, or have you baked already?
No, I'm baking next week. This is my first year participating.
Awesome.
And when I went to select the person I was baking for, they give you a list. And there was somebody who was lactose intolerant, and I have some really good lactose-free pound cakes. So that's I'm going to do.
That's smart. Well, you know, because I know that's the one thing, too, for B&Bs. You all have to, like, cook breakfast for all kinds of dietary restrictions, you know. That's a lot going on with that. So that is really special that you can do that. Judy, what are you doing at the Virginia Cliff Inn, unless you've already baked?
I have.
Judy?
Somebody gluten-free,
we can't hear you. Oh, wait, there you go. Now you're back. Okay, come back.
Now I'm back? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I chose somebody that is gluten-free because I get a lot of compliments on my gluten-free scones, so I will be baking some scones and probably some healthy brownies. So, I'm really excited to do it.
I love it.
My son-in-law was in Afghanistan, and he kind of was on the receiving end, so it's really dear to me. And we have a big military family, so.
Oh, that makes sense. Cool. So it really connects all in. I want to go over to Kathleen at the Gillum House B&B, and from there we're also going to talk some more. Go ahead.
I haven't baked yet, but I'm going to probably make my jeweled molasses cookies. I have a recipe for a really good molasses cookie, and I make it jeweled. I take every dried fruit that I have in the house, mango and pineapple, figs, cherries, and chop those up and put in it. And I also add chocolate chips because everything's better with chocolate chips.
Oh, you're so right. And molasses is good for you. It's healthy. It's got iron.
It's very healthy.
I call them jeweled molasses cookies because of all the fruits in them.
Oh, that's really cool. It's a good way of, because you have to think about how they're, you know, they're going somewhere. So there's like a, you know, you want them still to be nice and fresh when they get there. You know, Kathleen, I would be wary if Steve and Karen come to visit you. Steve may grab all that dried fruit and start distilling it and making it into some of his beer there. You never know. I mean, why not?
I have a healthy supply of gluten-free flour.
Oh,
I get the Bob's Red Mill gluten-free all-purpose flour. And I have that on hand at all times.
Good. That's cool for folks. I want to touch on the veterans program. Kathleen, before we started recording, you shared this website with us, which I want everyone to know about. It's BNBS. I didn't say BS, but BNBs, right? Forvets.org. So BNBs4vets.org is an amazing website. And this connects to the veterans Day program. It's even really the month of November, right, where it's an amazing lodging program that offers complimentary nights for veterans, right? And really something important for, as Kathleen was telling us earlier, for spouses. You want to give everyone an overview of that, because everyone, I think, on this program is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Be sure you have the word and, A-N-D, between the two B's. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Or and just everyone, this will be in the show notes, by the way, just so everybody knows, all the websites we're talking about, the inns, the different programs, will be in the radio show notes. So wherever you're listening, whether it's podcast or YouTube or Facebook, wherever you're listening, just right. Look in the show notes. I'll have the links there for everybody. But go ahead, sorry.
Oh, great. Everybody thinks to say thank you to the veteran, and his mm-hmm. wife or her husband will be sitting next to the veteran that has something on them that indicates, yes, I'm a veteran. And people will go over and say, thank you for your service. And they'll totally ignore the spouse who's sitting there next to them as if they don't even exist. But it's the spouse that takes care of the house, the kids, the moving, and all the other crap that goes with being in the military. And is unpaid and unappreciated. And this B&Bs for Vets is a way for us to say thank you to the spouse as well as thanking the service person. It's we ask a minimum of one room for one night, totally free of charge. And this year we are going to include the buy one, get one, which still gives them a free night because many of the inns have been hanging on by their bloody fingernails after being shut down. Mm-hmm. So this way they can still participate.
And that is a good point too. I want to tell people, you know, when you travel, you know, the bed and breakfast really was a hard time. That's why we went to so many during the pandemic, because we wanted people to know some were open. They just had to change a lot of things. To make sure you are safe and healthy. And when we talk about attention to detail and we're traveling, we're still all wanting to be careful, you know, health-wise. The B&Bs really like that attention to detail. I keep saying that term over and over because it's really true. And when you go, these inns, they do need your support. You're helping American small businesses. And this is something Nancy and I are insanely passionate about. I could go on a whole rant, but I won't. But I just really small business, what you can do for communities, this your stay helps the immediate local community. You know, when we talk about tourism and travel, when you travel to a destination, what you invest into your stay, that it, you want it to be the most memorable, fun, relaxing. Everybody's got a goal of what they want, an expectation out of their visit. But a stay at a bed and breakfast is so authentic and real, beautiful. You're being taken care of. You have somebody who will help you plan your visit. And again, very, very real and very unique experience. But even, you know, you're helping the schools. And, you know, so, you know, all of that through investing in tourism. And it's tourism month. So I'm just saying, you know, tourism week and all of that. So sorry, I won't rant. I'll behave. But it's a very true thing. So the bed and breakfast, when we look at where we spend our dollars as consumers, because we do consume, it's always cool if we can go with a small business. So, and we do consume Steve's beer, and we do eat those double chocolate chip cookies. Thank you all.
We do.
And so that's another reason to go to bed and breakfast, because the breakfasts are outstanding. And really, they all have baked treats and all kinds. Everybody has a different kind of goodie that you want. And if you meet Nancy and I in person, you will understand that we have definitely been to bed and breakfast, because now we pet sit so we can walk dogs, because we really need to walk as many dogs as far away as we can, because we've tasted generously. Let's put it that
way.
There's
also one of the most important thing to me about going to a bed and breakfast is the personal touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that they're not all the same and everything looks the same. Yeah. You know, I appreciate hotels as well. Mm-hmm. And the cookie cutter thing,
the travel, spit and cardboard,
it gets really boring.
Yeah.
And so it's really nice that someone can express their own personality in their bed and breakfast by the way they decorate it.
Yeah. And
it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's really more personal and it's way more interesting.
And those of us traveling and working as we travel, B&Bs are really helpful too. You know, if you're going to travel for work, you know, why not stay in some place that's like home and comfy, you know?
Yeah.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. So check that out. All right. So we'll get off our bandwagon. We always get on our soapbox about this. Can't help it. So Michael, and I want to talk to you about. Go ahead. Get on the soapbox. Go.
I want to piggyback on Kathy's comment about who doesn't get appreciated. And one of the things that we started doing is, as I said, we do a lot of respite weekends, is we've paired up with a Veterans Administration hospital that's in Battle Creek, which is about 30 minutes away from us, to do respite weekends for caregivers.
Oh, cool.
That's seriously nice. Injured or disabled veterans. And it is just for them.
Because
that is another, you know, legacy of the military. People get injured, they get seriously mm-hmm. injured, and most of the time the burden of caring for them falls on family members. And that's mm-hmm. another sort of silent or forgotten segment of the military population. So we've started doing that and specifically targeting that group of people.
That's amazing.
For respite weekends.
That's amazing, because like we're, you know, Nancy and I on our soapbox, when you stay at an inn, you get that personal touch. You do get that mm-hmm. respite. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, everyone who needs it, it's, you know, the military and those who are wounded, and then the, you know, even the medical people, you know, all of the work that they've been going mm-hmm. through too. Dana, what are you, you're part of this veterans lodging program though as well, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm part of that. And then I'm also part of, because we in Kalamazoo, we have a international airport, Kalamazoo Battle Creek Airport. They participate. There's an organization called Talons Out Honor Flights. And what they do is they arrange to fly veterans to Washington, D.C., to visit their memorial at no charge.
Wow.
And we
provide
housing, you know, if they're coming from a long distance, they have to stay overnight before they get on their flight. We're one of the lodging options, and we do not charge for that. And it's mostly, you know, Korea and Vietnam veterans now, but we have had a couple of World War II veterans.
Wow. Well, this is the thing too, you know, our military generations are changing, and they talk about World War II veterans. It's like the last of the great generation, you know, and I think it's so important that there are all these programs, but then that communities also honor the legacy of their locals who fought in these battles. And those are there now. I mean, we've also had, you know, the Gulf War, and look at now, where, you know, things are not exactly perfect right now, are they? And so our military is always there at the ready and always go. And I think it's so important. I love that Kathleen brings up the family and the spouses, and, you know, the moms and or the husbands at home are taking care of the kids, and they do so much. So these programs are so cool. I wanted to go over to Judy. So you're involved in the Veterans Day program too?
Yes. We're going to, I'm working on signing us up so we get on the website.
Awesome.
And,
awesome.
And we also, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
We also offer 10% to military anytime throughout the year. So.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Michaelin, I know you guys are just getting started with all this, but you're going to be part of the program too over at the Bird and Butterfly Inn?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. And I know Steve and Karen, I think this is one of the things we started talking about, is not just the baking, but you guys do the Veterans Day program. You want to tell people how you get involved?
Yep, we actually do ours as a as a contest. And the reason why we do it that way is because so many people start asking us a year ahead of time, and there's so many people looking to come to Asheville that we just want to make it fair. So we make it as a contest where everybody throws their name in the hat, and then we just choose a winner, and hopefully they're the ones that can make it, because we've had some that had to pass sadly on it, and we choose the next name. But that's how we do it.
And Kathleen, you do this as different weekends, right? And at the Gillum House.
I'm sorry?
You do this as different weekends during November, right?
At the Gillum House? I do it November 9, 10, and 11. And I usually just have it as two rooms so that they all have a private bathroom, so that third room is not rented, or I should say occupied, unless it's somebody that's bringing the family, and then the family gets the two rooms that share the bathroom. But everybody needs to realize that we do have the site is left up year round, and there is a page on it for your offers, your discounts through the year, what you do for veterans other than the B&Bs for vets. So that's up year round also. So you do get the publicity year round being on that website.
And for people searching for veteran families and looking for, hey, you know, who can help me out here with a discount, which is, you know, I think it's great that a lot of you are doing that. In closing, I want to just go back through everyone and just touch on when people come to your community, what is something they can experience? Maybe it's a Veterans Day parade or a Memorial Park. Is there something they can experience that connects to the military, whether it's a historic site or when you go to Virginia, I mean, the whole state, like I said, so there's a lot of different history. So just to give everyone a highlight of what they can experience, because military families do like to go and because they have a great understanding of the history of America and, you know, have a penchant for that, of going out and seeing these historic sites. And also a lot of times it ties into their family history, which is always interesting about when we get into military history, it does tie in. So I want to start with you, Michaelyn, over in Jasper, Texas. I do know that your region was really huge, especially on the Louisiana side. Now, I'm sorry, crossing over. You've got a lot of military history. You're close to Natchitoches, Louisiana, which is the oldest city in Texas. And then you're close to the El Camino Real de los Teos National Historic Trail. And you've got all these historic sites that tie into when you're part of, like, on the other side of no man's land. And at one point, Louisiana was part of Texas. So all I'm saying is stuff went down in her backyard. So there's a lot of history, but they did the Louisiana maneuvers, which is just a hop over the lake, really. Toledo Bend area, it's just a hop over. And they did the Louisiana maneuvers there with Jeeps during World War II. And that's part of their training with General Patton. And you've got Fort Polk not far on that side. But let's go back to Texas before I talk too much about Louisiana, but our friends over there will be like cheering me on. But Jasper, do you have anything that people should know about in regards to military history or events?
There probably are some places. And like I said, we've just been here for probably the last 6-8. So we're still getting our feet wet and learning our way around the town and the region. You know, south of us, just about 3 hours, you have Galveston, you've got San Jacinto Monument. So it's a little bit far. It's a long day trip, but if someone was traveling that area, we get a lot of folks who are kind of going from Dallas. They go down to the south to Galveston, and then they come back up on the east side because they're heading over to Louisiana or they're heading back north. So there's a lot of little places along the way that you can hit that are points of interest. And, you know, where we are is so peaceful and quiet. We still maintain our home in Houston, north of the Woodlands. I mean, just south of the Woodlands. It's just about 2 hours from there. And every time my husband has to go back to our house, he says, I'm ready to move. It's just so peaceful and quiet here. And so we've got a couple that are sitting out on our viewing deck overlooking the river. And I don't think they're going to come in the whole day. It is just a perfect place to come for peace and quiet, and just to kind of be away from the world and just be able to observe nature and enjoy it.
Awesome. Awesome. I know you have history because you're in Texas and every mile there's a historic marker. Like I'm just saying, it's like the pullover state, you know, just pull over. We tried it once and then we realized we're never going to get to our destination.
You're never going to get where you're going.
No, exactly.
So everyone, thebirdandbutterflyinn.com, that is the website to go to go check out Michaelyn and Chuck's Butterfly Inn, Bird and Butterfly Inn in Jasper, Texas. And now I realize you're more in the south part too. Yeah, there's a lot of history there. And then over Dana Underwood over at the Stewart Avenue Inn in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You can take your kazoo when you go to Kalamazoo. I had to say it. Kalamazoo, sorry, it's right. Sickening. Go to Stewart. Go ahead.
So if I have guests who are at all interested in history or military history, but even history, I send them to the Fort Custer Training Center, which is about 40 minutes away, which was trained military personnel for World War One, World War Two. And for the Korean War, and now it's a National Guard training center, but it's got a really interesting history. There are about 30,000 some graves there, including 26 German POWs, because it also has German POWs. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's a beautiful parkscape. It's got an interesting museum, and it gives you a slice of history, and it's not battlefield oriented.
Right. Cool. You know, and you've got the Battle of 1812, the War of 1812 in your backyard too, just over a little bit. You know, just over a lake or two, just over a lake. You'll have that too. But it, I mean, you really do. It's fascinating. And when you talk about POW camps, Michaelyn, you guys in Texas have POW camps all over. Like I've actually got like a booklet that I downloaded from a university of POW camps. And Nancy and I go to them. A lot of them are in like community parks now and preserved that way. But, the prisoners of war in Texas were taken care of, but they actually helped farms back in the day.
Yep.
The prisoners of war actually went out there and worked with farmers. And it's pretty interesting how that all worked. But I want to go over to Kathleen again for Dana's website. It's stewartavenueinn.com. It's Kathleen over at the Gillum House, which is gillumhouse.com. Anything we should know about? You guys have a parade. You sent me photos. You got a parade going on.
We have a Veterans Day parade, and the honor guard is from our junior naval ROTC. We have a veterans memorial that was built by the Sons of the American Legion. It was all volunteer. What they needed actual cash money for, they sold plaques in honor of and in memory of. The Thursday before Memorial Day, the Boy Scouts do a flag retirement ceremony with the flag that flies over that memorial, and they have bags and bags and bags of flags that need to be disposed of properly, and they do that. Veterans Day, the parade, every patriotic holiday, our Lions Club puts up American flags lining the main drag through town. We have a 1778 two-story log house that's original on original site. West Virginia itself was formed during the Civil War. They kind of did a back door with it, but because we needed permission from the mother state. So they did a reorganized state of Virginia, and then they are the ones who granted the permission for West Virginia to be formed. We have battlefields in the area. I have a rail trail right next to my house. We have so much history in the state of West Virginia that it isn't even funny. It goes back prior to the Revolutionary War.
Wow. And I mean, we think we've done some things in West Virginia. Harper's Ferry, that's insane. Like that is, you're in history. I mean, everywhere you walk is, but it's a beautiful state. I mean, everywhere we're talking about, Virginia is beautiful too. Glen Allen, Virginia, we're going there next. Judy over at the Virginia Cliff Inn. So go to vacliffinn.com, and that's Cliff with an E. Judy, you want to touch on anything that people can experience in regards to military history?
Richmond, I mean, has their Virginia War Memorial. There's Virginia Beach always does something just an hour and a half away. They always have a big Veterans Day parade. Hanover, that we're right next to, does a bunch of things. And then Arlington, you know, being an hour and a half away. So, I mean, there's something to find anywhere around.
Exactly. You're in the hub. You're like central. Yeah.
Yes.
Arlington, that's really deep for people to experience. So I want to go back up to Steve and Karen over at the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast in the Montford Historic District. They have a cool cemetery behind their B&B. Not right behind their B&B. So you will not get haunted. Steve, Karen, you want to tell anybody what people can experience military history-wise? I mean, Asheville's got crazy history. And one of the best ways, I'd say, to go on one of the Gray Line trolley tours to learn some of the history, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That note, they will tell you about a battlefield. It's not much to see. Honestly, we don't have a ton of military history here. The best thing I would say, my favorite spot is, like you mentioned, Riverside Cemetery down the street from us. There's a nice veteran section inside that cemetery.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of history.
The battlefield was a Civil War battle that didn't draw any blood, no deaths. The trolley will tell you they just yelled at each other.
Actually, it's a crazy story, and you have to go on the Gray Line trolley tour for that. They have a haunted mystery story.
I like that. I would go and participate in that.
Yeah, no, because they kind of got stuck out there, like, we're going to do this, and they didn't, and they got, like, they were, it's a wild story, and part of the...
It is.
Mm-hmm.
The history of Asheville is absolutely insane. You've got people buried under your streets in the
downtown.
All over
the place.
Church district is
church
crazy.
Street.
Yep. But there's also, you've got to think North Carolina about, you know, the military that went out everywhere, you know, in the Civil War, like you were saying. But, you know, even when you go to places like Gettysburg, you'll see every state that, you know, fought in the Civil War. It's sobering. But thank you all for joining us and for what you do for veterans and those in service now, and also participating in part of the history as well. So we want to thank everyone for joining us. Again, that website is bnbsforvets.org. All the links that we're talking about are in the show notes. And now we're going to go over to part two. Of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Go ahead.
Lisa, can I give you a little bit of a quirky thing about West Virginia and the Civil War?
Yeah.
The Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum is the second largest cut limestone building in the world. Only the Kremlin is larger. They started building it in 1854 when we were in Virginia. It's down in Weston, which at that time was Weston, Virginia. I can't remember exactly when it was completed, but after the Civil War, the state of Virginia sued the state of West Virginia for the cost of building the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, and they won. It is now open for tours.
Wow. That's some crazy stuff.
Is
now,
that
Steve,
politically correct to say lunatic asylum?
That's what it was called back then. And Steve and Karen have one down the street from them in the Montford Historic District. And
they don't call it that, do they?
Yep, but back then it was a sanitarium, I think they called it. But Zelda Fitzgerald went in there, and that's when they did the thing on their heads and zapped people's heads. They're like, whatever.
Yes, they did the shock therapy.
Karen. Thank you for cleaning
shock therapy.
And she was waiting in the room next to, you know, the kitchen area, but she was waiting for her turn, and that didn't sound right. And there was a fire in the kitchen, and so her and some other girls went running up the steps, the fire escape, and the fire escape was made out of wood, And there she went. Yep. And when you, they'll tell you on the Grey Line trolley tour, if you walk by there at times, you'll smell burnt hair.
That's how they learn to give. Creepy. That's how they learn to give women permanence.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. That was terrible. That's a bad, bad, bad joke, Nancy. All right. So everyone, thank you so much. We're going to be on to part two now. Hey, so now, you know, this is part two of our Big Blend radio show covering bed and breakfast who support the military in service, who are in service now, also support military veterans, and also honor those who have served and passed on, because there's many historic sites across our country that honor those who fought in wars, whether it was on the turf now, whether like not now, but like the Civil War or the Revolutionary War, or served overseas, like in Afghanistan, maybe Vietnam, Korean War. So there's apparently, sadly, many wars. But we do want to honor and celebrate those who have really put their life on the line. So today's show is all part of our military history programming. We do this every first Monday. We have a military history show that we do with Mike Guardia, who's an amazing and award-winning historian and author of over 25 books on military history. And what he does is he really showcases the people who fought these battles, which is important that we know that these are people, not just numbers of troops, right? People. And that's really what this show is about today. So this is part two. And we love to go to bed and breakfast. We get on our stomping grounds about them as you travel and want a real unique and authentic experience. A bed and breakfast is the way to go. And one of our favorite ones is Tiffany's bed and breakfast. If you're going to have breakfast, you might as well do it at Tiffany's and do it out in nature. Tiffany's bed and breakfast is just outside Hot Springs in a town called Bismarck. Basically, the town is part of their property. Really, I don't think Bismarck would actually be in existence without their property because it's got some mining history. And you can go to their website, tiffanysbedandbreakfast.com. So welcome back, Tiffany. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How about you?
Doing good. Doing good. Nancy and I miss you. And we know we're going to see you soon this summer.
We can't wait. Coming.
Oh, man, it's like an annual thing. It's like the annual trip to Tiffany's. But isn't it true that like the mine on your property, which isn't something, you know, you don't go scrambling out there if you don't know what you're doing. But that mine is pretty much the namesake of Bismarck, right?
It's the namesake of the little area called Point Cedar. It was called the Point Cedar Mine. And there's not
much. Come on, take the name.
Other
take
than
the name. I try to give it to you in my podcasting powers. She just had to be honest.
We just got to be modest.
Oh no, but it's beautiful. So it was little Point Cedar was the main name.
Yeah, Point Cedar Mine, and it was copper, lead, and silver mine, and quite the operation back around the turn of the century.
You would never know it when you go to your property. You've got how many acres of just trails?
62.
Yeah, I was going to say 60. And yeah, okay. So I was scared there. You know, I could get it wrong again.
You were right.
60 acres. And we know Nancy and I have walked there with Bob. And oi to Bob and Buddy.
Oh, oi.
Yeah. Everybody has to go to see Buddy the dog too.
Oh, yes.
And kittens, but hiking there, you would never know. And so I want to just touch on that. And everyone, again, Tiffany's bed and breakfast.com, that's kind of like, I think for a military family, a couple who need to reunite after many, you know, months or maybe even a couple years, need to get away. Do you find that you're a respite for them? To just kind of breathe out, be in nature, not so overwhelmed in the hustle bustle of life.
Yes, and there's no cell service unless you connect to Wi-Fi, so no distractions.
We even keep the TVs out of rooms so couples can actually talk to one another. And it's amazing. Some of the couples come here and they check in and where's the TV? And we say, there is none. What are we going to do? And at the end of the weekend or their end of their stay, they say, do you know we actually talked to one another this weekend?
See?
Really amazing how many people are so appreciative of being able to reconnect because technology is not in the way.
Hey, listen, you can even go digging for diamonds. And that's exactly. Talking about picking your nose. Sorry. Sorry. But you can even go digging for diamonds, literally. And you know, Tiffany's backyard, she's got hot springs in the backyard. You can go soak in the spas and the hot tubs and enjoy the hot springs. Hot Springs National Park is actually in a town, city, Hot Springs. Mm-hmm. And it's the only national park with a brewery. So I encourage you to go. But I do want to talk about springs. Go to our next springy destination, which is Eureka Springs. And we've got Susan Harmon joining us from the Five Ojo Inn. So that is the number 5 and then ojo.com. That's the website you want to go to. And so welcome, Susan. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good.
Hey, it sounds like you have like another like peaceful setting. You know, going on your website and it just seems gardens, you know, wildlife, nature. This is a place for people to also have a respite.
We do. There are actually 4 buildings that make up the inn and we're on what they call the historic loop of Eureka Springs. So it's like being in a neighborhood away from downtown. So we've got about 1.5 acres of property. The back of our property is basically all wooded, so you don't see houses behind you. You don't see the neighbors, you know, things like that. So it's very beautiful and green right now. So it's really, really pretty right now this time of the year.
So how far are you from Tiffany, who's near Hot Springs? Like, where are you in the state of the natural state of Arkansas?
So we are about 1 hour in the middle between Fayetteville, Bentonville, and Branson, Missouri.
We've driven through
an hour each
town.
Way.
Yeah.
Yep, an hour each way, and you can go to either one of those locations. Most people come here, you know, obviously for a few days, but every once in a while they'll want to go to Bentonville, Fayetteville, or they'll drive up to Branson for the day. So there's a lot to do within 1 hour of Eureka Springs, besides the things that are in Eureka Springs, of course.
You have some crazy architecture. I mean, look at that building, like in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
That downtown, like it's like, wow, I've seen some of them like in Connecticut and I think I've been through your town just because of that building downtown that I know.
I think the one that you're talking about is probably the Flatiron building downtown. But Eureka Springs was founded became a town on July 4th of 1879.
So oh, wow. That's patriotic.
It's been called many, many times Little Switzerland because of the hills and the landscape. And then the architecture was the Victorian architecture. So lots of wood homes, no one home exactly the same. And then downtown, the building you're talking about, what happened was over the years when the town first formed, they had several fires because they were wood buildings. And so what they did then is they decided to build several of those buildings downtown out of granite. So that's one of those old stone buildings that's been there forever.
It's beautiful, though, when you look at it, all the detail in the architecture.
Yes.
But you also have some historic sites. You know, Tiffany's out there by Hot Springs National Park, which has, listen, there Arkansas has some cool military history and battlefields, and Hot Springs has some, you know, mafia stuff going on. I'm just saying, Tiffany, you do.
Right. It is you what it some, is.
You have some crazy history, but in reading some of your history, you have a national military park that I know Nancy and I need to go to, the Pea Ridge National Military Park. But Pea Ridge is actually really a significant piece of history that went down there. So for military veterans and those in service now, I think they're going to find that quite an interesting place to go from if they stay with you.
Yes, yeah, so we've had quite a few people that have actually gone down there and visited the park itself. It's about a 30 to 40 minute drive from where we are. So it's closer as if you were driving towards Fayetteville, Bentonville area. But it's a beautiful park. It's obviously kept up really well because it's a national park. There's a museum there. And of course, you know, you can see some of the different things like cannons and things like that out on the grounds as well, but it's really it's a really nice park.
Mm. Now you also have a Doughboy statue. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So the Doughboy has been down in Basin Park. I believe it was 1929, and that statue has stood there since then. Originally, when they first, if I remember correctly from the reading the information, I think they started raising funds for it in 1919. So it is a memorial to all wars, but that Doughboy is down in Basin Park and it's still there today.
Oh, wow. Wow. And that's like, but also World War One history, which I think is something we forget about too, you know. It's kind of like the Korean War gets forgotten about behind the shadow of the Vietnam War, you know. Tiffany, is there a military history I haven't touched on for Hot Springs and Bismarck area?
Hot Springs does have a Veterans Memorial Park that's really neat. They do a Veterans Day service every year there, and they recognize it's a beautiful monument. There's an old tank set up there, and it just honors all the branches of service.
It's important. And Hot Springs and then Little Rock, you know, which isn't that far from you, has some cemeteries. I just want to tell people, go to some cemeteries. That's probably some of the most sobering places to go.
Little Rock has a veteran cemetery also.
Yeah, they do. And then there's Mount Holly, I think we went to. And it just, you could spend days in cemeteries. It's so peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. I don't mean that like funny, but it is peaceful. And and we also need to all look at keeping up these cemeteries, be it military or not. And that is a problem we have across the country is maintaining our cemeteries and so that people can rest in peace. And I know a lot of master gardeners take care of the cemeteries and there's associations, but we have been to cemeteries that are literally so underfunded and have issues to keep them clean, take care of the actual tombstones, and also to have the funding to actually find places that are rested, people who are arrested within the grounds that you can't find the tombstones. Like you need to do laser and all kinds of things, laser technology and what have you to find them. And then there's unknown people that are buried in cemeteries too. And so there's a lot of history in these places. And I would do a cemetery show every month if I could. Maybe I can actually, you know, because we do have these places that are set up for this, and it's like our parks. We need to keep them funded and taken care of, and it's through this kind of promotion and conversation, and you know, that maybe we can get them taken care of. You know, Tiffany, I think Hot Springs has some interesting graveyards. I don't know. Do you have a graveyard on your property since you have a mine? You don't tell me that you do.
Not that we know of.
No, could be haunted, right? But 60 acres. How many rooms do you have? Like, tell everybody that. How many rooms?
just three, so it's nice and quiet and peaceful, and we never have a crowd.
Oh, that's, and I'm, you don't have a crowd, but I'm, you're sitting, so quick to Hot Springs.
At just 14 miles from Hot Springs, 45 minutes from the diamond mine, the only one in the country that you can search for diamonds and keep the ones you find.
I want that.
And I'm sitting in the window right now looking at rose-breasted grosbeaks and indigo buntings and cardinals, and it's just
indigo buntings.
Hummingbirds.
Why were
indigo
buntings?
They're one of my favorites.
You have indigo buntings, and you're just sitting there talking about it like, yeah, we just have indigo buntings. Are you kidding me?
I was up cleaning one of our rooms today, and there's three sitting in the tree right outside the window.
Okay, well, apparently we've been visiting you at different times, and we need to come revisit. But then the first time we visited, you had bar owls and their babies, training their babies to hunt.
So
with
fun.
Fireflies. I mean, so like, I don't care. It doesn't matter what time you go. It's awesome. So I want to go, Susan, what's going on in your backyard? Do you have indigo buntings? Do we have bird life? Do we have butterflies? Like, let's have a competition here.
Yeah.
Really.
I heard you say fireflies. And when we moved here, we'll be starting our 10th year in November. And when we moved here, you know, we moved from Fort Worth, Texas. That's not where we grew up, but that was the last place that we had lived prior to Eureka Springs. And I remember going outside and you could see the stars and we had fireflies. And it was just, you forget about those things when you live in a city. And it's nice to be able to see those things again in a small town.
Mm. Yeah, we just drove through Fort Worth, like maybe 2 miles a minute.
It's very busy, isn't it? Lots of people, lots of cars, and lots of cement.
Yeah, we kind of were on the slow train through Fort Worth and Dallas, and we thought, it's on a Sunday. It'll be easy. That didn't happen. And then we zoomed on by through Arkansas real quick, and Nancy and I are waving out the
window.
Didn't
even stop to say hi.
Tiffany and Bob, we were so, because Dallas took us down, man, that traffic in Dallas, Fort Worth wasn't as bad, but Dallas took us down, and we're like, no, we got to keep going. And we're like waving. We almost brought you a cat from a rest area. So Tiffany, maybe you're glad we didn't, because I was so close to messaging you saying there's a cat at a rest area that needs a home. So I think you're probably glad we didn't come visit
maybe
you.
So.
I know, but Susan, Eureka Springs, I mean, that's kind of a name. So you have hot springs there too? Like they literally went Eureka, like they did in California when they found gold? What happened?
There are no hot springs in Eureka Springs. So it is the mineral springs. So it's cold water.
No, that's nice though.
Yeah, so Hot Springs has the hot springs. We have just the regular springs, but there are tons of them all over Eureka Springs. And we've got one that's called Magnetic Springs. Apparently, you're supposed to be able to put metal in it, and it's supposed to magnetize it. Of course, then we've got all of the other ones around town that have the minerals in it. And of course, they, back in the day, they were supposed to heal you. So it was things like pink eye, kidney disease, things like that. But people drank it instead of bathed in it like they did in hot springs.
But I think mineral springs are really there. See, you guys have the balance. I mean, you want to cool off in the summer too, right? To have the mineral springs.
Right.
It's like the fountain of youth, hot or cold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys are balancing each other out. I like this. So can you go in the water now in Eureka Springs?
So most of the springs are small. So the landscape here, obviously, we're in the Ozark Mountains, and there's rock everywhere. So you dig down maybe about a foot into the ground, and you hit rock. So there's water traveling all over within that rock in the ground. So there's one really large spring in town. It's called, it's on the outskirts of town, but it's Blue Spring.
And that's the biggest one. And that is, if you go online, it's Blue Spring Heritage Center. And that's probably the biggest one that you're going to see. The rest of them, you might see them where, you know, it's just a little kind of a little, I don't want to say puddle, but just a small little area water coming in between rocks. Mm-hmm. And then it also depends on what time of the year it is, because, so, you know, in the springtime when we have more water or more rain, then you see more of them flowing than you would maybe like during August. But the city has mapped out springs all over town. So there are, I don't know, 30 to 40 little springs that are identified throughout Eureka Springs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting, because Hot Springs has it downtown, but like Hot Springs National Park, I mean, Tiffany, you have hiking trails all over there. You got the Watchtower.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Well, not the Watchtower. It's like the Space Needle of Seattle, like
yeah.
in the middle of Hot Springs National Park. The Watchtower sounds like you're in a prison. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Way better than the Watchtower. The Watchtower sounds like we're like going to prison or something. We don't want that. But
I think it started out as a fire watchtower.
Oh, that makes sense because of all the forest that you have.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But I remember driving up this drive, like you could see the view of all of Hot Springs and mm-hmm. forest, and you could see the tower. I'm just going to call it the tower now. But these gazebos were these ornate gazebos. And what's fine, it's like really interesting as we travel like through all these national park sites. It happened in Chickasaw, Oklahoma. They have springs too, and they have these ornate gazebos in these areas of water of springs, these ornate gazebos that go next to them. I don't know what's going on in history. I'm going to have to contact a historian about that kind of thing, but I've noticed that there's this precedence of these ornate buildings, and here's the spring, I think, because it's a gathering place, right? So maybe probably. Baptisms and like, you know, spiritual and religious things go on, gathering spots and special events for communities happen at these water sources. Because, I mean, we all gathered, you know, humanity, society groups around water. So it's kind of interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting about the two of you. And I want to get back to the veterans part of it. But before I get there, I have to go to the OHO, O-J-O. Ojo or Oho, depending on where you come from. Susan, can you tell us what Oho is about? To me, that's a very Southwestern term, or, you know, Spanish Mexicans term.
Yeah.
What is Oho or Ojo? I got your mojo rising.
The building that originally started out as being the bed and breakfast was, the address was 5 Oho Street. Mm. When the town first started, the couple that built the original building where the bed and breakfast started, she was Spanish. They had moved here from, I believe, Wichita, Kansas. And if you were here, you would understand what I'm saying. But we are sitting on the highest elevation in Eureka Springs. So at that time, her husband he came to Eureka to start a lumber yard. And of course, back in the day when the town was first starting, they were cutting all of these trees to build these homes. Well, she decided that she was going to name the street in front of the home that they built. She named it Oho Street, and she was Spanish, so of course it was Oho at that time. The story that we've been told is that the reason why she named it Oho Street was for the view. So Oho in Spanish is eye.
Mm-hmm.
Years down the road, at that time, when she named the street, the house was not within the city limits. And of course, like every other town in the U.S. and all over the world, the city eventually caught up to, you know, those areas that were outside the city limits. And so that street, Oho Street, is still on all of the maps but the house number became 5, and the individuals that purchased the bed and breakfast and began the bed and breakfast back in 85 named it 5 OHO Inn. So that's where the name comes from.
I love it. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that's, I know you're from Texas, and you know, we lived in Tucson and Southern California. And so OHO, I was like, ooh, I feel at home, you know, but it's kind of interesting because there's also such Mexican and Spanish history that ties Louisiana and Arkansas to the Southwest. So when we always talk about the South, I always go like I kind of need to put that and Texas in there. You know what I mean? It's like, I know that we have, and it really goes by region of war, like region and war and timelines of the wars of who owned what when, right? But I feel like we can take from Louisiana all the way through to California as the South, but that's not what people say. I'm in Maryland today, and people will say Maryland is part of the South, and I go, I don't know. But when it comes to history, it is. So it's very interesting to me. Let's talk a little bit about the Veterans Day programs and also baking for troops. So Tiffany, we know you can bake. Nancy and I know, and I know Bob bakes too. Tell us, and we know you make the most amazing breakfast. We are so lucky that we've stayed with you. Everyone, Tiffany's bedandbreakfast.com. You must go there. You must. Otherwise, Nancy and I will chase you around the country. So tell us a little bit about this baking program. And because you gathered the troops, it's not just baking, but you're also sending supplies to those in service out in the field right now.
Yes. This started in 2020, I believe. And it was just a way for innkeepers to do something while we were kind of almost shut down. May is Military Appreciation Month. So a group of innkeepers got together and joined up with an organization called Soldiers Angels. Soldiers Angels has different teams. They have an Angel Bakers team. They have a group that sends cards. They have a group that supports military chaplains. There's all kinds of different programs that they have going on, but so we joined up with the Angel Bakers, and the Angel Bakers actually send a box of baked goods to a deployed service member once a month. The in support of our troops is just a one time a year deal, but we went ahead, we thought it was such a great program, we went ahead and joined up. So we've been with Soldiers Angels for, oh gosh, at least 2 full years, sending a box every month. We send one pan of our famous brownies to them.
They are famous.
Typically, they are. You get a pan when you check in.
I'm coming.
Yay! But we'll send a pan of brownies, typically a couple batches of cookies. We might do some, like, you know, a homemade Chex Mix or just anything homemade. And then to fill in the rest of the box and kind of keep it from breaking up, we send other supplies as well, just to give these deployed service members a taste of home, literally.
Oh, that's amazing, you know. And so I want to go to you, Susan. What's happening? Did you bake? Are you still baking? What's happening for you right now?
We are still baking. Yesterday, the reason why I noticed that, or the reason why we inquired about this program, is because of the Facebook group for bed and breakfasts around the world. And so I'd seen the post on there, and I had told my husband, Tom, about it. I don't know. It was probably a couple weeks ago. And anyway, fast forward to yesterday, I forgot about it because you know how you get busy and you start doing other things and life.
No, I have no clue
from you.
No clue at all. Just so, kidding.
Anyway, but Tom makes all of our cookies, and so he he decided yesterday was the day he was going to make cookies for the transit center. So maybe like three times a year or so, we'll make a bunch of cookies for the trolley drivers. So in Eureka Springs, we have a transit center, and there are trolleys that drive all over town, and guests can hop on them and hop off and whatever. So anyway, the guy, we always wave at the guys on the trolleys, and we started making cookies for them several years ago. And so anyway, he was making these cookies, and I thought, oh my gosh, Tom said something about, do you still want to do the cookies for the deployed soldiers? And I thought, I forgot all about that. So I went back through all of the posts. I found it. And of course, then obviously yesterday you got my email, but I thought, we make cookies for the guys here in town, a lot of different groups. So why not do this too? So that's how we found out about it.
That's awesome. That's all. But I love this connectivity of this, you know, in part one, we talked about the importance of small business and bed and breakfast days. And it, really, I think our country needs to unite like what you're talking about, you know, these Facebook groups, the associations. You know, I got an email this morning from Kathleen from the Gillum House Bed and Breakfast, who really is very involved in veteran programs through B&B's Bed and Breakfast. And she was just wanted to make sure that we told everybody the Association of Lodging Professionals, known as ALP, is once again the sponsor of Bed and Breakfast for Vets. And they provide the website and hosting as well as any other support needed, especially trying to get everybody inclusive on this. And that's something we were talking about on the show, is everybody coming together. And this is something, you know, I think it's important when we all look at it in business as a whole and as travelers to look at what people are doing. You know, how can we support the smaller places that often get overlooked? I mean, I hate to say this, but a lot of times, you know, we travel full time, Nancy and I, and we do travel podcasts and we interview visitor bureaus and destination organizations. But a lot of times they're like, we have this new resort coming in, and we're going, what about the bed and breakfast? And it's kind of I'm just saying, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, right, Tiffany? You know, we just put a nail in our coffin, right?
I'm not going to get you in trouble for it.
You know, we just did, right? I just did. Nancy's going, you got to shut up. No, but that's the truth. It's about small business coming together. And when you do unite, you can do good things. Just like Susan, how you were talking about it. This, you know, whether it's a Facebook group or an association, you can come together to make really good things happen. And our veterans are important. Our servicemen and women that are out there in the field are important. And then remembering, you know, the families are part of it. And I think that's cool. Tiffany, you not only bake, but you also do the veterans lodging program. Can you tell everyone a little bit about what you do for that? And I do want to give out that one website, and I'm trying to find it. I think I copied and pasted something wrong here, but tell everybody a little bit about that program with what you do.
It's called B&B's for Vets. It was actually started by Kathleen at Gillum House in West Virginia. And it's, yes, every in participates, gives at least one free room to a veteran on Veterans Day, just as a thank you. Kathleen's real purpose of it was to kind of honor the spouses of the service people as well, because they do get overlooked. So she wanted the spouse to be able to get away and have some one-on-one time as a couple. And we just, that was the first veterans program that we found and just fell in love with it. Bob's an Air Force veteran, and he was in during the Vietnam years, and he tells about how they were not very well received when they came back. So can't fix that, but this is kind of our way of paying it forward and thanking the service members now for their service.
I think that's amazing. So you do the program, and then Susan, with your B&B, you're doing a discount program, right?
Correct. So when we purchased the inn, I'm not sure if the previous owners had it or not, but we do a 10% discount for anyone who is retired or active. And we not only do it for service members, but we also do it for police and fire as well.
Oh, wow. So anybody in the armed service, armed forces.
Correct.
Basically, mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's awesome. I love looking at your website, by the way. I want to go canoeing down river. What is that? Ooh. I'm like, I'm sorry. I got distracted by your website. Yeah. The great radio host here.
Kings River or the White River.
Everyone, 5oho.com. And I want you all to say, oho. It just feels good. It's the number 5 and it's OJO. So 5oho.com is the website. And then Tiffany's Bed and Breakfast. Listen, there, I know there's breakfast at Tiffany's and it's a great show, but or song, I should say. Listen, we did a whole thing on you, Tiffany, on our show the other day. Yep. Well, we had to. It was a music thing. And I'm like, if you're going to have breakfast, you have to go to Tiffany's. And it was when Supertramp released, you know, Breakfast at Tiffany's. And then anyway.
Thank you.
I'll go into a whole thing on that. But
I think you're dating yourself.
Listen, I'm younger than that, but Tiffany knows. Tiffany and Bob know. They know I'm old in music, right? Tiffany, you know that I'm old in music.
You're an old soul.
I'm an old soul. Thank you.
Hey, Lisa, the website for B&Bs for Vets.
Yes,
is bandbsforvets.org.
Thank you so much, because something went wonky on my notes. Thank you. Everybody needs to know that. Can you say it again?
bandbsforvets.org.
.org.
bandbsforvets.org.
Thank you. Thank you. Tiffany knows.
You are welcome.
Everybody, this is such cool things. Thank you so much, Tiffany and Susan, for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So glad we could do part two. So glad that all these B&Bs are doing so much for our veterans and current active military servicemen and women, and then also looking at what happens in your community. Before you go, Susan, we talked about some of the historic sites in your community, but you also have, look at events, you have a veterans parade, right? That happens every year.
We do. So that happens every year. Eureka Springs has about 2,000 people. So it's a small town. But every year there is a veterans parade, and, you know, just gives the community a chance to come out and honor those.
Oh, that's awesome. And small towns are cool. We want that. Yeah. Hmm. And then, you know, but then they kick us, Nancy and I, out later. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. but Tiffany, Hot Springs, does your region, is it patriotic? Do they do a veterans parade or Memorial Day event?
They don't have a veterans parade, but we do have the Veterans Day service, and then Memorial Day we have the annual fireworks on the lake, which happens every year.
Oh, that's cool for folks to know. Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us again. Tiffany's bedandbreakfast.com, 5oho.com. I'm just gonna say oho all day long now. And of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. And for those who serve, husbands and wives, the spouses, families, kids, the brats, thank you for what you do for our country and for those who need peace where they live. Thank you all so much for joining us. Take care.